Yeah. What up? Welcome to the Soulcast. Today's episode is an interview with some anti-fascists from Greece. These are my homies that I met out there through Antifa Live, which is one of the branches in this large Antifa network that brings people like me out there to play, you know, hip-hop shows and squats in Athens. And I don't know, I've played a couple shows out there with these folks and become pretty good friends with them, and just been totally inspired by what I've seen out there, by the kind of infrastructure, the kind of networking and building they're doing, and just how powerful the anti-fascist community is out there in Greece. We're going to talk about what they do out there to broaden the struggle and generalize the resistance. We're going to talk about how the far right has risen in Greece and what that's been like. We're also going to talk about what it's like on the other side of after the far right has been pushed out of power, and you know, you get your Marxist academic leadership to quote unquote lead people out of the crisis, yet the exact same shit happens. So it's a really informative interview from people who've been on the front lines of the crisis for, you know, over a decade now, and what it's, you know, what we have to look forward to. And of course, there's some stark differences between the situation in the States and the situation in Athens, but I think it's important to get the perspective from what's happened elsewhere so that we can apply those lessons to what we're doing here, and so we know what we can expect. You know, these are definitely scary times in the States, scary times worldwide. But, you know, during, you know, when there's a crisis like this, it just opens up the realm of possibilities, and anything could happen in the next 4 years. But if we sit by and let liberals, fascists, and Democrats walk us off a cliff, we know what's going to happen. The same old shit. So I hope folks get something out of this interview and are inspired by what these folks talk about. And and if you want to learn more about them, check them out online, Antifa Live. And if you want to support the Soulcast, you can go on patreon.com/soul1, S-O-L-E-O-N-E, and support the Soulcast. All right, check out the interview.
Just to make it clear in a way, you know, it's the two of us. We might be missing some stuff while we're speaking to you. It's not like we're recording the full, you know, everything as a political view that Antifa has. We'll try our best to do that, I believe. But, you know, just, I hope we can answer all those questions.
What do you mean you can't speak for the entire anti-fascist community in Greece?
No, what we mean like, Antifa community is like a collaboration between certain anti-fascist groups. There are issues, especially those concerning actions done by other political groups, in which we will mostly be answering as persons organized in Antifa. Antifa doesn't have a publicly declared position against in concerning some of those issues. So that's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I was just being sarcastic. Cool. So I just kind of wanted to start and talk about like what Athens is like right now. Like, would you say the crisis is still ongoing, and do you feel it in your everyday life? Like, how do you feel it? Mm-hmm. And by the crisis, I mean the economic financial collapse of 2008.
Yeah. It's funny because, Athens is in crisis, but it's a It's a basic issue to identify what the real crisis is, what we generally call an economic crisis. Globally has been
identified as
the events that followed the Lehman Brothers events and all, and how this was reflected in the economies of many other countries. But the truth about the Greek example and about many other capitalist countries is that capitalism was in crisis for quite some time. And in 2008, there was like the burst of this crisis.
Well, basically, we can say that 2008, you know, what happened back then in Greece, what happened is since you're asking about Greece, I don't know if there's much meaning to talk about the crisis in general, since it's something that people can, you know, either read or, you know, tell about in their own countries, in the cities they live in, to tell how that escalated. And anyway, in Greece, it was something that, you know, just spread out in the news that we're in crisis, blah, blah, and people really actually not really know what that means. But the first thing that happens in these occasions is basically a bunch of measures going on, that austerity measures, that it's basically the state, you know, giving money to the banks. It's, you know, it's something that's very common to say. It's not something that, you know, you need to be organized in an anti-fascist movement to state. But I believe that right now in Athens, it's and in Greece in general, although there might be some differences between certain fields, but in Athens, which is the large city and the metropolis, it houses half of the Greeks and also a lot of non-Greeks per se, because they don't have papers yet. We're talking about migrants. There are workers here. Right now, it's in very deep shit to talk in general. Right now, you have young workers not being able to find a job or finding jobs that are really low pay and really bad conditioned and not with the full, you know, with the benefits. You have migrants not being able to work or working at, agriculture with everything that means. That means basically being paid with the worst types. So what we can say is every austerity measure taken from 2009, to be more precise, till now, has been in the benefit, in a way, of say our leading class, if we can put it that way, and against working class in general. So what happens is that every measure, even if it seems like it's
measure that tries to tidy up the state, it's basically an assault to the rights of the working class. It's been this way in many other countries as well. It's the same in Greece. Together with the ideologies it goes with, populist ideologies, far-right ideologies, and the growth of the illegal capital, if we can name it this way.
So you're saying, like, today, right now, there is more like even like through austerity and the way that society's being set up, you think it's still being run in a right wing way, even though Syriza is in power and they're a bunch of Marxist professors that came out of the movement of the squares. So you're saying that it's still with these folks still in power, it hasn't gotten any better.
Yeah, totally. The basic lines of the way to control and run the societies through the crisis has been the fall of the value of work and patriotism. Populist, patriotist bullshit all the way. Even by guys who used to have Che Guevara posters on their walls when they were students.
Yeah, basically Syriza has become a big joke even to people that had been their supporters for like a very, very long time. Syriza, for people that don't know it there, it might be important to just say a few things. It's been a party that was that historically had been a part of the Communist Party, right? And what happened at some time, they left from the Communist Party and they were what we called Communist Party of the Internal Affairs, whatever, it doesn't really matter, it's a big history. And in any case, they were a party that before the elections of 2011, if I'm not mistaken, they were a party that was like almost out of the parliament. They got like a few votes, you know.
3%.
3%, 4%, around there. And they're just suddenly starting to make the right alliances, I believe. They started because the then ruling party, PASOK, which was...
supposedly a social democratic party.
Yeah, they kind of fell because they took the first austerity measures. So Syriza was the PASOK in the place of PASOK in a way, and they've shown that with every way they can. And it's a big joke because in a way right now what they're doing is like the austerity measures that they've gone through, they managed to take, and the alliances they've made with either countries, like say Egypt, like the junta and the dictatorship of Egypt, for affairs that have to do with outside, you know, supposedly outside this country, not that we think that these things don't affect us here at any point. And what they've done in the country, like who they've allied with, they've allied with, like we can say, all the same enemies of the workers here, and they're the same ones that take the same austerity measures, but they say it's all for the benefit, and it's not us, it's some Germans and some French and some Americans governments, you know, that are oppressing us, and we would like the best for our people, but you know, that's always our way of devaluating our work, devaluating the way of we live, devaluating our state of minds. And basically Syriza, I mean, we could be here talking about Syriza a very long time, because it's a phenomenon probably that we haven't seen in other countries, that supposedly far left party being in the government and following exactly the same strategy as far right New Democracy that was before them. New Democracy, just to explain, was the party that was leading before.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the reason I ask about Syriza is because, you know, with Trump being the next president coming in, there's this huge, you know, knee-jerk Well, first of all, a bunch of people wanted Bernie, and you know, a lot of people who didn't believe in that, you know, said, you know, you're still going to have the same limitations of the deep state anyway. But now that like Trump has exposed this underbelly of populism, I think there's going to be a huge push to do a Syriza style of politics here in the States. And I don't know, I guess I just wanted your opinion on, you know, what you have to say about that. If people are trying to tell everybody to channel their energy into that in 4 years of after Trump.
This is a very basic issue. It has been a very basic issue in Greece for the last years. It's interesting because even parts of the wider anti-authoritarian movement, even if not publicly, but even if they didn't do it publicly, they wanted to believe that there could be in this certain historic time that there could be a government just because you know, they used to study Marx when they were younger. They could be working for the lower classes' interests. But what they were really doing and what they got elected for was saying populist patriotic bullshit. Syriza did that, but it did it in the left way. Syriza never tried to point out the issues of the state and the way the state was connected with several interests of bosses, the larger ones and the smaller ones. They used examples that people wanted to hear. They used a ghost of a previous Greece who still had money and still was able to do stuff for the petite bourgeoisie that wanted to keep just making money in its strange and totally anti-working class ways. And they thought that Syriza could do that thing just because he said it. They said that they would do it. But the main problem with that is that they didn't want to face the truth, which was that there was a working class which was multinational and it was attacked by all those measures, but it was also attacked by the fact that they didn't recognize themselves as the thing that they were, that they were workers and that they had interests different of those people living inside the same fucking country with them and had interest in devaluating their lives. What we believe that needs to be done against that this thing is to, first of all, to recognize ourselves and then recognize our enemies. And our enemies, first of all, are inside the same state that we're living. And that means to try to organize in a horizontal way, try to see what the interests we share with people that have grown in very different countries than us, and try to promote organizing in a way that it can show the claiming to fighting back anyway. And fighting back is not only fighting back against the fascists or their ideologies, it's fighting back against all those that want us to be separated, divided, and basically stupid and just clapping our heads, hands whenever some patriotic bullshit comes along. And it's a very dangerous time to be doing that.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, the way I know y'all is through Antifa Live, which has brought me to perform in Athens and a number of other artists. Can you talk about Antifa Live and why you think it's important to, you know, incorporate music into your organizing, or how you are using it?
Yeah, sure. Well, Tim, it's been great having you here to start with that. Antifa Live was basically a part of the things we believe we have to do out there. It was a time 5 years ago when this project was created by my several men and women about organizing anti-fascist live performances in neighborhoods that were at the time when you had Golden Dawn going around, and at the time when crisis was on its rise, and we started seeing what was going on there.
Golden Dawn is a Greek Nazi far-right party, to those who don't know. Mm-hmm.
And so we started doing that in neighborhoods with our own means. So we basically had this idea that Greece had into the wide, we could say, anti-authoritarian movement. There had been the cultural issue connected with it was always very important. So the cultural issue of being able to, you know, to handle, to actually manage to set up live performances into different places and to manage to keep them safe and to manage to having, you know, a good quality, meaning from sound to the people that come, to, you know, not just being a bunch of a right wing person would say, a bunch of punks that just do drugs and all that. Since we had that tradition from before, we managed to actually reach our 19th Antifa Live now, and I believe that we actually managed to, from these 5 years, I believe we actually managed to do something from that. The conclusion to that is not that we saw that 1, 2, 3, we managed to do this and this and that, but the conclusion is that we saw other people moving towards that direction. We managed to see people coming to us, artists coming to us, saying we want to play for this cause, for the anti-fascist cause. And we also, musically speaking, we managed to bring a bunch of artists that we thought were very influential, like yourself, and bring them out here for the young, you know, the young artists here in Athens to see and meet and see what they can get out of that.
Another thing about how this thing began, apart from the fact that it was a way to reclaim spots inside the city, when you're going out in a square and you're claiming the spot just by the fact that you are, let's say 40 or 50 people organized in your own means and put your propaganda out there and try to reach out for people that share the same influences like you. It is also the thing that what we recognized, looking at ourselves, not only looking at the people growing up near us, is that many times music, especially rap music, has the ability to talk about issues that are very basic to our causes, issues that have to do with how you handle from the repression of the state until the how fucked up your job is or your boss is, or how fucked it is to be living in a country full of stereotypes, either racist stereotypes or sexist stereotypes. And we saw that those people may not be communists or anarchists, but they are talking about issues that are important to us. And they have people on the other side of the microphone that find themselves and recognize themselves inside these words, inside these rhymes. So we saw a community there, a community that hadn't declared itself as one, but it is crucial to find other ways of communicating other than posters, leaflets, or published texts. And we believe that during those 5 years of Antifa Live, many immigrant bands have shared the stage with people with local working class bands, with wild youth rappers or punk rock bands, and that gives us a way to communicate with their audiences and themselves as well, and make our vocabulary richer.
That's awesome. So beyond, I mean, obviously you're not just concert promoters. Y'all do a ton of shit other than promote concerts. What are other effective tactics and strategies that you have employed in Athens to sort of fight against fascism? Like, when I walk around in Athens, I'm struck by just how much propaganda there is everywhere. So I guess that would be my question. What do y'all do out there to spread the revolution, to expand the struggle beyond the music?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, as we said before, like, Antifa Live was one of these means. To be more precise, Antifa Live was a means of a certain collaboration of anti-fascist groups, which is called Antifa Community, and has political groups, more, you know, to the point, political groups, meaning they produce propaganda. It also consists of groups that might use other means to do that, like video, like more artistic ways, also on the streets to do this. In the streets, meaning from big graffitis and, you know, big projections in the street and all that. But I wish from before I could, we could, like, share more stuff about what's going on over there with, you know, with Trump and how we can, you know, we can give some advice. But basically, we can say a bit of things about what we can do here, about what we can do here, what we do here, and see how that goes. Well, in any case, so we have a widespread of things that we believe and we try to own as means of being political and being organized and being militant, if we can say that, against what we think our enemy is. And our enemy is the state, capitalism, fascists, and fascists are a means of the state devaluating our lives in any case, in many ways, actually. So those means are, of course, from demonstrations, We try to be in demonstrations, not the only ones that we organize. We try and be in demonstrations that we believe that fit the things that we get out there.
We try to do the demonstrations in a way that suits the way that an anti-fascist should be organized, as we believe. We try to do very heavily organized demonstrations, but propose a form of power which is based on collectivity. We don't want ninjas to be there out beating fascists. Although sometimes this may be good as well, but what we want to do is having women and men organized in a way that they gain respect in the street, and they do this, and this is evident to anyone who's passing by. We do demonstrations either publicly announced, either not announced, in smaller neighborhoods, trying to claim our spots there. We write political slogans every day. We try not to allow the fascists to be seen anywhere around in the city. We buff their slogans. We write our own on them. We try to use means from our personal experiences. We do graffiti. We try to put out posters that use a language that isn't the stereotypic anarcho-communistic language, but is based on the proletarian experience of everyday life. And we try to reach out for the other people around that can recognize the perspective of power inside this, the power to claim your rights and be offensive against the fascism and the capital.
Nice. I really like the idea of doing unannounced marches in smaller neighborhoods as a show of solidarity and force. I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, that's one of the things we propose in general, you know, because even practically speaking, you know, it's not always easy to announce a demonstration and having it all organized. So we do a lot of those unannounced. Of course, the announce is where you call people to show by their, you know, by their being there and by their organizing with us, you know, showing how they believe that cause is the right cause. But in any case, you know, having unannounced demonstrations gives you the ability to move very frequently around neighborhoods. As organized anti-fascists that are able to, you know, to meet and organize those demonstrations.
Yeah, and I guess I also like it because it's like a small, small way of, you know, building solidarity with a minimal escalation, as opposed to, oh, we're gonna go attack the police station, you know.
It's like anti-fascism and the whole thing of autonomy organizing is not like waiting for the time to claim power and do the revolution. We face the revolution in everyday time. We need to do shit, and we need to broaden our experiences and our means and our relations every day. And this is why we try to find out new means, find out new ways to connect with people and and keeping the collectivity in the center of those means.
What is the reason that you identify as autonomists and not anarchists? Because when I talk to y'all, when I hear you're talking, I feel like we believe almost all the same things. So why is it important to distinguish yourself as autonomists?
Well, this is quite a big question, but I'll try to give you the short version. Antifa community is like a child of a political tradition in Greece that had very tried to put the class issue very central to its analysis, and also tried to recognize the proletarian figures not by the typical old-school industrial worker proletarian only, but to see it through very various other aspects of the capitalist society, and also try to face another big variety of issues having to deal with gender, meaning sexism, racism, and all those stuff. We got very much influenced by the example of the Italian autonomia, the workers' autonomia of the 70s, as well as the example of the German autonomy back in the 80s and the early 90s, which tried to bring a revolution back to everyday life and to find the... We tried to find all those contrasts inside the everyday life issues and try to organize in them. And try to reclaim the pride of the working class. This is the only way that fits us to attack the barbarism of work in a capitalist society. The same people that are affected by it are the ones that need to fight it back. And those people aren't workers only when they work during the time they spend in their everytime labor, but they are workers when they consume. They are workers when they build their relationships. They are workers when they listen to all those bullshit by the public spectacle. And they need to fight back in every way. There are some examples of this way of organizing in the history of anarchism. There are some examples of such way of organizing in the history of communism. What we thought that it was needed in the Greek movement is to put an analysis that doesn't face the people as one, but as a series of classes that have different interests and build their the way they stand by the way they claim their different way of standing inside the society. No. Sorry about that. It was totally
That totally makes sense. So instead of like the IWW, we're all workers, like autonomia says, okay, this is your position in life. Here's, you know, everybody has to fight differently based on their experience. Is that it?
And yeah, I mean, it's also like we try to avoid, and not saying this in a bad way at all. We try to avoid ideology as being, the basic, thing that moves us behind everything, because we believe that ideology is not the way to move, to hit people. You don't just go by to people saying, all people are equal, but you go to people saying that these are your interests. Don't fight. Like, just an example, here in Greece, we have, you need to go to the army when you're 18, right? So you go to him, you say, don't fight for your state, don't go to the army, go and play crazy. You don't fight for the state, you fight for your class, in a way, It's these type of things that make us think that autonomy or being autonomous is something that fits better our needs and the way that we express ourselves. And of course, without as my comrade said before, not just being like. How can I express this? Like, anarchists are a thing of our tradition. Italian autonomists are one thing that really made us, see history in a certain way, see the new proletariat figures in a certain way. Anarchists in Spain also did, right? But a tradition keeps you, but the present and the future is what makes you move and see the needs that are out there to move politically. So basically, we believe in, like, Italian autonomy was in there, and you can see in every in every fact, if you just study about it even a little, that many different things. It, like, as a cop say it back then, Italian autonomy was a mosaic. So you couldn't even trace you couldn't even chase it, because it was a big mosaic. That means that it had so many different ways of acting, had so many different ways of getting your propaganda out there, of getting your rights out there, then that, the state couldn't even manage to understand it. In ways, so that's what really that's one of the things that really moves us, and that's one of the things that we're really trying to put out there in the streets and in the city that we live in, and in cities that in cities all around Greece.
Do you think this approach helps you reach other kinds of people?
This is the goal, and we don't the goal is to talk like the people we are, and transform ourselves through the way we organize to meet people in circumstances and in situations that we want to live in, and be more effective and be more threatening to the state and the capital, and be more threatening to our enemies inside the society. The way we organize, the way we change our lives while organizing, the way we change, the way we look at it and check about how it's transforming is gonna make the goal to us. We're not waiting for the big revolution out there. We're waiting for the everyday struggle to produce more and more battlefields inside the social field. And this has happened. It hasn't happened as wide as widely as we want it to happen, and we're that's why we're here. That's why we're not in the communes, but we are out there chasing the stuff.
We're glad we wanted to say actually a lot more about some things, but we're kind of trying to, you know, to get everything summed up and not, you know, just spread out. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, basically it's like, okay, I want to give people a real brief context for why Greece is fucked up, comma, how Golden Dawn came to power and, you know, how to resist it and what it looks like on the other side after you've elected your Marxist saviors.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I guess the thing to do now would be to talk about the Golden Dawn a little bit. People in the States, you know, who haven't been paying attention to Antifa stuff, all of a sudden are just like, oh my God, what the fuck? How is it? How has racism and fascism, like actual fascism, started to go mainstream in the States? And like people, you know, are just shocked by it. I guess my question to you would be, can you describe the sort of context that the Golden Dawn arose out of, and how they rose to power?
This is a very interesting question, and this is also a question that can be hardly answered in short term. This way or another, we'll give it a try. Golden Dawn isn't a new phenomenon in Greece. It has been, I don't know what the exact term is, it was like one dark part of the state organization that has been working for decades now.
Deep state.
And has been doing dirty jobs for the state for quite some time now. But still, when it came to elections, the Golden Dawn was a very weak thing. Being in Greece, which had a history of being occupied by the Nazis back in the 40s, having some wild nationalists to the mainstream used to be something that couldn't be happening. But Greece, a large part of Greece was racist. It was racist back in the 90s when, after the fall of the USSR, a massive wave of immigrants came from the Balkans, and you could check out their racist stereotypes, racist actions, and all the ways in which racism was useful to the Greek bosses and parts of the Greek society in everyday life. But still, the Golden Dawn didn't appear in the public field. Golden Dawn appeared in the public field, and it was very much pushed by the media, pushed by many parts of the Greek capital. After 2008, after the big riots that arose after the murder of a 15-year-old boy by the police, and the big burst of the crisis that followed right after. The Golden Dawn was very widely supported by the media, with racist statements as focused on how all those immigrants are here and the people here are poor and they can't take more immigrants, and all those immigrants are involved in the crime and all in several other bullshits like that. And the Golden Dome rose there as a protector of the everyday Greek bourgeois. And it was like it talked with very populist language, and it talked to the hearts of the most sick part of the Greek society, and a very big part of the police state as well. This is a very, very brief history of how the Golden Dawn got into the parliament and was so much recognized by the mainstream. But still, there were very... There are many other jobs that Golden Dawn did that were very, very needed for the Greek capital at a certain time. The Golden Dawn got very much connected with certain aspects of the criminal capital of Greece. They did many dirty jobs the deep state wanted them to do, and there was a large part of the society that wanted those jobs as well. So it was a thing that we saw it coming, let's say it this way.
And yeah, it's not just stating that, you know, we saw it coming because, you know, because we're awesome and something like that, you know. But in a way, it was obvious in Greek society in the 90s, as we said before. And the way the workers in Greece, the migrant workers, were treated in agriculture and in the cities as well, they were paid really, really low. They were, if somebody didn't have the money to pay them, they said, "What can you do? You're illegal. You know, you don't have any papers."
We're gonna call the cops.
Whatever. So
this is what Golden Dawn was doing. They were going around checking people's employment status.
Yes. Well, basically, Golden Dawn had a very dark role in all this because they were in the deep state. They weren't just a group of activist fascists. You know, they weren't just some Nazis trying to do the good for their beliefs. So basically, the Greek society, how you can read 0.0.1% 2 years going into 7%. That's not something that just happened. Of course, as we said before, the media pushed them forward. If the media doesn't push something forward, you don't believe that it's worth voting for. But we don't believe that, as we don't believe in general in elections, and that's the most important thing. We don't believe that things happen just at a flick of time. So, as I said, in the 90s, that's what was going on. Albanian workers back then were working like that. And in 2004, while Antifa was based, and when it was created as a need from organized autonomy here in Greece, it was because 2004, after the Greek national team in soccer, the Greek national team had just
won
the European the Euro Cup. And that was a big time of national rejoice and all that, and everybody was very glad to be Greek and very happy with that. So after that, we lost to the Albanian team, and the first thing that happened into Athens was a big punk roam, basically.
Not only Athens.
Not only Athens, yes. In all of Greece. They were basically chasing Albanians in the streets. So you can say that if in 2004 you can easily have people chasing Albanians in the streets, that's already there. You don't need a 2011 for Golden Dawn to show their teeth. It was already present in society. People wanted devaluated migrant workers to do everything and then making money. And to state it a bit more economically, migrants were what saved, in a way, you know how to use that word, Greek economy back in the 90s. Cheap labor. I'm sure you have that experience in the States. Cheap labor, basically devaluating every form of the migrant's life. And that's where Greeks thought that, a big part of Greek society thought that going that way, actually even voting for a Nazi party, and obviously a Nazi party was the way to go. Until at some point you had a big obvious thing, murder that was, there was actually a murder of Golden Dawn to a young rapper, left-wing rapper named Killa P. And that's where things kind of seem different. So we can talk from the murder of Killa P. It's been a bit different, but still, you can see many things that are still there in society. And that's what's more important for us.
Golden Dawn and far right in general is a very useful thing for the capital, especially in times of crisis, because it makes the workers speak in the same language that their bosses speak. That language of populist patriotism, and it does jobs for the crime and also for the security, and in the same time, it's very well connected with the police state. There was a Gallup that showed that 50% of the Greek police voted for the Golden Dawn. And in the same time, it speaks for some of the sickest parts of the Greek social life, having to do with their religion and the way to be proud about stuff that only devaluate yourself as a worker. So that's a hell of a deal for the bosses. And the bosses are in the position to recognize this. It is our job to show that we are in the position to recognize how crucial it is to fight back, even if the Golden Dawn goes out of mainstream. Their way of acting, their ideologies are still here, and they will be unless we stop them. No political party, no part of the state has any reason to stop that, especially in a time of financial crisis.
You know, it's so weird when I hear you talk about how the deep state is pushing the, or has pushed the Golden Dawn. It's almost the opposite here in the States, where you have all these like FBI and CIA things that are being leaked to discredit Trump. It's almost as if capitalism is using fascist, shit in the States against the deep state to create a more, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? It's interesting what's happening in the States. It's not exactly like Greece. It's quite different.
Actually, it's we're saying the deep state pushed them, but outside in the face of people, Golden Dawn was basically something that was very anti-authoritarian, if I may use that word. They came up as something that was against state, and they would fight back, and they would go against all these traitors that sold our country and all that.
Against the corrupted politicians and all those bullshit. That was the public speech of Golden Dawn, and still is.
Yeah, I mean, that aspect is very much like what the right wing in the States.
So in that case, it's very similar.
Well, another thing that I don't think people in the States really understand or grasp the magnitude of is the refugee crisis that's happening, in Greece and in Germany and in France. How many people do you have living right now as refugees in these camps? And what's that like?
What we're saying is that the term refugee crisis is like is a constructed term. The media and the state like to present this as such, but the truth is there is a real problem, and it is a war that is going out in the Middle East. And this war involves all of the major players inside this globe. Those people and the way the Western countries use them is just another part of this war. In Greece, there are like 50,000 refugees living inside detention centers or other forms of detention inside Greece. But what we're saying is that it's like it is very crucial for us to, when we look at them, not only to recognize possible comrades, because there are people, parts of our class that are being devalued because of the fact that they were, that they're the children of an ongoing war. But also to try to recognize how this war transforms the inside of the Western societies as well. The fear of immigrants, the fear of terrorists, the fear of the battle of civilizations and all those bullshit that are out there spreading in the media are the very needed way to describe people that are facing the bullshit that Western and all the major players in this globe have created, and to find a way to organize themselves in times of war. And all this stuff are a thing that we need to be fully aware of and facing.
What kind of collaboration is going on between Antifa and immigrant communities to show solidarity with folks who are going through this?
Antifa hasn't been working in direct collaboration with immigrants. We try to keep relation with some of them and trying to get information about the way they're being handled by the state and how this thing goes on. And we try to support struggles against the detention centers and support propaganda and produce propaganda that claims their rights. What we're saying, the poster we just published, is just saying that give papers to what we mean is...
Basically, give the full rights to migrants as they were Greek citizens. That's a way to stop their political meaning in general, actual political rights. Us having that that way, saying give papers to all the immigrants, all the migrants, all the refugees, as you can call them. Whatever we prefer calling them immigrants,
even if they are coming from a country that has been recognized as a country in war. State of war, either if they are not coming from such a country.
We basically are trying to say that a first step to be able, you know, to fight to see our interest as one is to have the same, you know, rights. So that's one thing we can put out there. But we can put out there is it might even sound conformist to some, to some anarchists or even some left wing. People, but what is going on in Greece is that there's been a big myth the past, especially the last year, that so we're a bit coming back to Syriza, but it's not exactly that. It's basically that you were having a state saying we do everything we can, but we can't fit that many. Like it's talking about a number of you know masses that can't fit into a certain space. Like Greece doesn't have the space to fit them, or we don't have the economy to fit them. And while they were saying that, they were saying that we have open borders. And at that time, you had migrants going into rusted little boats trying to cross the Aegean, a lot of them being drowned in the Aegean. Nobody talking about that, or even seeing it as an accident. And at the same time saying that you have open borders. At that time, Greeks all over were actually making money out of that because the last wave, I mean, Greece is in this spot where it is.
As well as other European countries have been making money out of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Greece is this space, you know, right next to Turkey and right next to Middle East, where a lot of migrants have chosen a lot of times as a path, and that means that they have a lot of mechanisms and a lot of money from European Union to know how to handle these things. So what was going on is they said they had open borders, as I said before, and at the same time the borders, the basic borders, were widely shut. And there were people drowning, and they were basically gaining as much money as they can from them by selling them tents, by moving them from place to place with buses, by selling them bottles of water, by selling them their electricity to charge their phones. You know, they were trying to make money out of every aspect of this issue. Ugh. So, yeah, it's disgusting, actually. What Greek bosses, we can say in general, invented out of this thing. And the one big thing, I mean, we can't get into details, of course, right now, but Greece always tried to play their part in this as you know, a country that's weak, but you know, European Union gave us money, and that money was passed on to the alliances of the state. It was passed on to businesses. It was passed on to you know, businesses, meaning even the catering company that will be in charge of catering the detention centers would be able to make money out of that. So Greece being in, I believe, in the media in general, I believe that in the States that, you know, that ICAN has been transferred as well. You can say that it's not as it seems. Greece is not a country that's been, you know, hit by the refugee crisis, as they call it. But it's been a country that tries to make the most out of these things. And having basically the society, the one that we talked about before, talking about Golden Dawn, having that as its first layer of making the best out of these people, out of these working hands, out of these families.
It goes this way for most of the European countries as well. The only thing is that in other European countries, this may have been more publicly known. But it is going on in Greece as well. What we're saying is that this thing that, we can't handle so many immigrants, is bullshit talk, straight up bullshit talk. No one, there's no scientific way to calculate how many people can be fit inside the country. There are capitalist ways to calculate how many people can be fit inside the country, and how and what in what ways you can use to make money out of the ones that you say that don't fit inside your country. What we say that there is an issue, and the issue is the war that is going on. And there is another issue, that is the class war that is going on inside the societies that are welcoming, and this is in quotes, the immigrants. It is our very heavy and very needed duty to shout out a fuck you, a big fat fuck you to all those who try to calculate how many people can be fit inside a society. What we can say is that, okay, we want to work less. We want to work less hours. We want to get to and share our jobs with the immigrants. If we need to do that, we'll have to convince our bosses that we're going to do it and that we're strong enough to claim it. The fact that we're not as strong as a movement is a fact that has led all those people inside Greece, outside Greece, talk about the immigrants in such terms.
Wow, that's amazing, man. I love the idea of, just the idea of people in the States pushing, say, yeah, let all the migrants, let all the immigrants in, and we will we'll work less. That's fine. That's a great solution. That's for sure. Well, what do you think has been the biggest issue, you know, preventing, you know, the struggle from totally taking off? Like, what's been the biggest detriment to stopping fascism in Greece? But, you know, this is like the last question. So, yeah, what's been like the biggest challenge? What's been the thing that has, you know, prevented the struggle from broadening more?
Yeah, well, We can answer in a very general way, but I don't know whether it's going to be convincing. But we see the struggle as a part of educating ourselves as well. As we try to find out new means of organizing, try to find out new means of getting people to have solidarity and and work together in a more militant way, and being trying to produce struggles and heating up the tension inside the society is a thing that first of all the movement has to face itself, and its limits and its ways to try to avoid looking at how reality changes and how we need to find new ways to evolve and be more daring and be more fighting. This is a long procedure, and certainly it cannot be done by one big event that will make all the people go out in the streets and revolt. These events can produce riots, and riots are good, and they're a place to meet, and they're a place to celebrate, and they're a place to celebrate your common goals and celebrate your the way you stand against your enemies. But it takes more than that. It takes everyday struggle, it takes everyday organizing, and it takes an everyday battle with the way you are educated to work inside a capitalist society. And we need to find these ways, and we need to learn from other people out there, not only from the people of the movement.
Right. Yeah, you don't have all the answers. I wish you did. I wish we could just publish this interview now, and we'd know exactly what to do.
I think Lenin had published a book that said what to do. I don't know.
I'll have to check that.
I just want to add a bit to that, saying that about your question, exactly your question, being why did not people move towards these type of things. I believe parts of the answers are to things that we said before, like what Greek society is about, but we try and find the healthy parts of that society. And when we say Greek society, we mean the multinational Greek society these days. It has a lot of non-Greeks as well, and a big part of that, a big part of failing to fight fascism, as we actually call it, you know, because lots of people might think that fascism doesn't exist anymore, or that they're just some random people voting for Golden Dawn, or anything of that sort, is that from the beginning of what we call economic crisis, people believe they can organize around their patriotic views and to organize around what they think is right for the country and what they think is against the oppressors. And that's one of our the oppressors, meaning some evil Germans. Germans are a big aspect of what Greeks think is their enemies. And thinking that we have common goals with the person like that oppresses me, like me, for example, being a waiter, being whatever, having any other job, and thinking that my interests are next to him, to my boss, being next to anybody supposedly following the goal of going against the enemies of the state. And that was a big aspect of things that, you know, even all the left wing went that way, you know, being patriotic and being against everyone who tries to go against the national interests. And I believe that's a part maybe that of the answer that we could provide you with about what went wrong all these years. And as we said before, we try and face this with seeing what's out there and seeing what we can do in everyday life, because revolution is not one spark that just starts to become a fire like one night. And it's something that is not as fancy as that. It's something that goes on every day, from our free time, from when other people, you know, try wine and do whatever else that, you know, some people are out there.
Yeah, that's something I think it's super important, is this idea that revolution is something we, you know, we can prefigure ourselves, and it's not like, you know, this definitive moment when, you know, you get 10,000 people in Tahrir Square and then bam, we're all free. So yeah, how can people in the States and beyond support the struggle in Athens and what y'all are doing?
Well, I think one good step is this thing we're doing here. One good step is you telling us how the things are going in the United States, in your city, and the forms of struggle you produce and how they go on. We have learned a lot about from the movement of from certain aspects of the movement in the U.S., from Black Lives Matter, from the Fight for 15, from the many other parts of the, even from the Occupy movement or whatever, and what we want to have is open eyes to use means and ways of organizing from all parts of the globe and support those causes in the ways we can in our own battlefield. The comrades from the U.S. could do to support the movement of people from Greece is produce struggle and keep up doing the struggles they do and widen them and even get affected from them, from the struggles of Greece, and this way back forth. This is the most crucial thing in my perspective. You have a lot of things to deal with there. It is very important to learn from other countries, not only learn about the movement from other countries, but also learn about the strategies of other states or how they use their power to oppress the people of other countries. This can produce tools, this can produce ways to to fight back and organize. We got comrades all around the globe, and we know that. And what we should be getting to is try to get those ideas and those practices working. This is the first time thing that comes to mind.
Well, that's easy. I can do that.
That's nice.
Oh, God.
We can make our English better, and perhaps we can do that for you as well.
Yeah, well, it seems like you just did that for me, so thank you. Yeah, well, in Denver, I don't know. It's been kind of a – there was a lot of repression over the last few years, but folks have started reconstituting themselves, holding public meetings, trying to bring new people in, calling for assemblies, calling for actions. So I don't know. People have definitely been activated in a way that they haven't been in the States in a long time. Possibly, I mean, as long as I've seen. So I think we're in for some really crazy shit in the States anyway. So God help us. Oh, God.
You mean after Trump?
Yeah, after Trump has been elected, it's it's like a lot of people are radicalized. Like we've already had some of the biggest demos I've ever seen, and
some stuff on your page.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's always that conflict, you know, between the liberals and the radicals. But what's new? There's always a counter-revolutionary behind every leaf, man. Just gotta fucking. They'll be first against the wall, man. Oh, just kidding. All right. Well, any last words? Any parting thoughts? If people want to support you guys in the work you're doing, what's the best way to do that? Or to track what y'all are doing? Or if you don't want people to track what you're doing, any last words?
Well, I believe you can track parts of what we're doing, minor parts online, but that will be not that much because it's mostly in Greek. It's all Greek to you guys, I believe.
We will be having more translated texts and stuff talking about the stuff that we do. In our site, that is www.antifalive.gr, in like the month coming, we will be having an English section that will be rather it won't do the whole job, but it can be an inspiration, we hope.
Because we've been inspired by things in the States for a very long time, actually.
Well, thank you. If you were inspired by what was happening in the States before, wait till America is great again. I mean, you're only going to be more inspired.
We can't wait, man.
We like the hair.
Oh, God. All right. Well, I guess I'm going to make some dinner. Any book recommendations before you go? I like to ask everyone if they recommend any books.
You can check out the book. I don't remember publisher was published in the U.S. about the pariah autonomia from the Italian movement of the 70s. It is always an inspiration.
Simio text. And,
yeah.
Yes, actually, it's a lot of text from different parts of the Italian autonomy.
And generally, it's not bad to learn about what Marx said. all those teachers that came to power in Greece have learned some good stuff before they went on doing that shit. So you can study that as well. It has helped. It hasn't helped from them as a government, but it has helped us as a movement.
Yeah, my I took a critical theory seminar last year where we just read a lot of Marx and Hegel, and I think it's super important for people to have that foundation, for sure. All right, well, have fun eating your Slovakis and...
Afghanistan, man.
Shit. All right. Well, hey, no, seriously, thank you so much for taking the time. I know it was kind of hard to line this up.
Thank you, Tim.
Between all you. Yeah. And thanks for bringing me out there and showing me Greece and always showing me such a great time. I love going.
Woke up and my mouth had become a pool of blood with floating teeth. I'm not my way through life.
You're going up in Denver. You're strangling me and I'm afraid to say that I'm generally afraid of what's next. Better do it quick because we're going to close our borders pretty soon.
We are cowards, afraid of death. Even the strongest man alive hates to face the end.
And you'll suffer a million petty deaths and hold your head high. American life is live and let die. That's why they build walls. We can never get high enough. Why you puff, 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 them walls stay up. History flows down, repeating. There's poverty, they're selling. No preservation at all, destruction at least. We seek peace, but this life won't provide that. Freedom's a curse inside that. Need to escape, you can't. Need to protect the weak, they won't. In their ivory towers, they wait. In these rebel city streets, we fight.
We may all be born slaves, but today we feel free. From the crib to the grave, we are taught to behave. But today we'll all scream in unison for anything. We're told to be.
Life ain't shit, but running on empty and running out of money. Life ain't shit, but storming the moat. Life ain't shit, but holding your loved ones close and having their backs when it matters most. We were raised to walk alone, so when they say you don't need a crew, it ain't true. Just don't roll with cowards and you'll be cool. Ain't nothing true but the blood in your veins. Fear is healthy, it's part of your DNA. Not enough to live on, and that absence is something we can build on.
Not sure what I want, pretty sure it's not this though. Still torn between saving the children and burning it all to a crisp. I can live in shit of a spaceship. All I know is that nobody knows a thing, and I'm tired, just hoping that there's something more to all of this.